922 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop. Kevin off this week. Our producer, Jonathan Schaefer, though, making the magic, as we like to say, in the Zone studios. And let's bring in our man, the VOT, Mike Keith, voice of the Titans. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Mark Howard. It's good to be with you.
It's good to have you here. The Big Ten's announcement, I know it's apples and oranges when it comes to college football and the NFL, but when you see them, you know, go to conference only, how do you think that affects, you know, the thinking in the NFL offices, if at all?
It's significant from the standpoint, you know, I don't know that it necessarily impacts the NFL directly at this moment on July the 10th, but Mark, it is clearly a statement that, you know, the Big Ten's moving to Plan B. And at the moment that we've seen football move to Plan B in any way, shape, or form, it gets your attention. Now, I've always contended that the colleges are going to have a much tougher time in putting all the pieces together than the NFL because of one thing quite simply, and that is the college campus. And we've all been on college campuses as students. We've been there in some cases as parents. We've certainly visited to see games. I mean, we know it's 18 to 22-year-olds. There are so many things that go on within that bubble of a world that can't be controlled. And so the decision of the Big Ten in saying we have to move to Plan B here the first full week in July, it gets everybody's attention everywhere in the world of sports, even if it doesn't dramatically grab you immediately.
As far as the Titans' announcement that they're not going to be at full capacity this fall, I don't think that surprises us at all. I thought it was good, though, that they're going to hopefully be two fan events during the preseason.
That's the hope. You know, I don't know how training camp was going to look for us anyway, Mark, because our situation at St. Thomas Sports Park, being a construction zone, I don't know that we were going to have fans there the whole time. Wouldn't have shocked me if we, you know, wouldn't have gone away to scrimmage against another team or gotten out of there a little bit. So it was going to be unusual anyway. But the planning that has gone on and all of the things that have factored in, and you take the football side, and that's John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and our director of operations, Brett Akers, and all of the medical folks. And then from the ticketing standpoint, all that's been done, that group led by Gil Beverly in sort of trying to make the decisions, and Burke Nihil working with Metro in trying to find out as much as he could. We didn't want to go into hypotheticals, Mark. You know, that was what everybody wanted to avoid. But what we did want to do is give people the information as quickly as we could. And I always thought July 4th would be that time. And so in saying, okay, we get it. We've talked to Metro. We understand Nissan Stadium's not going to be filled. We've got that. And so we're having to move what our plan is. And now we wait to see how many people exactly we're going to be able to have in Nissan Stadium. I think that will probably be sometime later this month for preseason. And then I think we may go into August a little bit to find out more on the regular season plan. So you may hear something first on the preseason and then hear something on the regular season a few days or a couple weeks later.
All right. My other question is, before I hand it off to Blaine, is that back in 2011, when there was no off season, there were no OTAs or mini camps, injuries went up over 20%. I think it was 22%. How mindful are teams going to be of that when they bring players in now? And remember, gyms were open then. Players could work out a lot easier than they could have, you know, this past spring and summer. So how does that factor into this camp?
I think it's going to factor into what happens for the first 2 weeks for sure. I think everybody, I know the players want no preseason games and the league wants to, and they're still working on details, and that's probably going to go on for a couple weeks. But the bottom line is I think everybody's going to be cognizant that the first 2 weeks are going to be sort of an acclimation period. I will say this, though, you know, in 2011, gyms were open, but I think guys are much more serious about their personal health 9 years later, even than those guys were in 2011. I think they've got a Peloton or they work out with the personal trainers. We've seen everything that Kevin Byard has been doing that has been fun to watch. So I think guys will be ready. But, yeah, will they be aware of that? And will that be something that they will certainly want to hit early to make sure that they don't have those soft tissue injuries? You bet.
Yeah, Blaine might be on his Peloton right now. We're speaking to Mike Keith, of course.
There he is.
Voice of the Titans.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I try to get on there, try to stay in some decent shape. Nothing like those guys that's playing today. I couldn't be out there with those guys. Are great, man. But, you know, you talked about, you know, the players in, you know, a couple weeks in two preseason games. You know, there was a huge debate if they were going to be preseason games, I guess, from the player side. I guess they don't want preseason game because there's a subcommittee put together by them and the NFL that you have to have 48 days of practicing before you feel comfortable that your guys are ready to play in an actual game. So what do you think is going to play out here as far as the decision to play in preseason games? Because the NFL says, based off of CBA, we can make you guys play two preseason games regardless. And why does the NFL want to play preseason games so much? Does that, how is that tied to the revenue and the TV? Or is it just something they want to go through the kinks of now with all this you know, COVID testing and travel and make sure that they understand how they're supposed to operate during the regular season?
You've laid out a lot of good points there and asked good questions. And I think both sides, as I listen and again, we're not sure how much is being reported and how much is real. But based on what we're hearing in the media, here's what I would say. I think both sides have a very legitimate discussion in this. And that's where it is. J.C. Treader, the Browns center, right, who's the head of the NFLPA, said, we need 48 days and we don't need to play practice games. We need to get everybody to the regular season. That's what we need to do. We don't need to take those chances. The NFLPA and the NFL, in their committee working together, reportedly recommended 1 to 2 preseason games. Mm-hmm. And so the players don't want any. The group together said 1 to 2. The NFL folks say we'd like 2. And the reason, twofold: the football people want evaluations. They want to see guys play football to make decisions on the roster. And then you also have a situation where teams want to have the practice of running their home stadium in the preseason and want to have the practice of taking a road trip. And the reason is they don't want the first time that they do that to be in the regular season, because they know there are going to be problems with the buses on the road, because you're going to need 8 or 9 buses now instead of 5. They know there are going to be hotel issues. They know there are going to be testing issues in terms of timing. I mean, all of these things, they don't want the first time that happens for the Titans to be when the Titans play at Denver on Monday Night Football. They would much rather it happen in week 3 of the preseason so they could figure out what works and what doesn't. It's very legitimate, and it's very legitimate on the football side, but it's also very legitimate on the player side. So, yeah, I mean, the CBA says they can force them to play 4 preseason games if they want to. but that's not – I don't think that's the mindset of ownership. I think they realize, like most management in this country right now, whatever the rules have been – you've got to sort of back off them, because you need your employees to be healthy and comfortable. That's what you need at this moment. And that's what the league is going to try to do. And I mean, I think they've got some work to do to iron it out. But for all the major discussion, Blaine, about points, what it really comes down to is preseason games. If the players get no preseason games, I think they're going to be happy with everything else. They're going to have to be worked into that if that's going to be the case. And we'll see. You know, we'll just have to wait and see what that discussion is going to continue to be. I think that's what goes on for the next however many days.
Well, as we get closer to training camp and you know, getting the guys there in the NFL and the Titans as well, what if players started to opt out? How do you see this playing out with, you know, the players, their teammates, let alone their family issues and the NFL's view on that, and then will they be compensated?
Well, if they opt out, you would feel like they would not be compensated, and they would not, and they would not get a year of service. Yeah. And so that'll be the case. And, you know, we've seen, okay, baseball has started with that. The NBA has started with that. You know, that was kind of the last thing that sort of came into being in each situation, is they went through the entire process and then they started to work through the discussions of, are guys not comfortable? Are people not comfortable? And I think that's kind of the next thing in terms of individual players as we draw closer. There have been some things that have been put in place that, you know, there's not going to be a bubble, so guys are going to be able to live at home. They're going to be able to live at home during training camp as you follow the protocols that are out there right now. So I think they're trying to swing that towards the players and trying to give them as much comfort as possible. But if somebody's not comfortable, I mean, it's obviously something everybody's going to have to deal with. So I think we'll hear more about that in the next week.
Well, I guess lastly here there, Mike Keith, is tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Yeah. That is the time clock on King Henry, which is Wednesday, by the way. Wednesday! Oh, my gosh. What is going to happen? Will he get a long-term deal, or will he be franchised and continue to move on this year and next year?
I'm getting this question from the guy who held out. from the all-pro. You know how this works. It always goes to the end. That's the way this works.
The
phone calls, yes, come when the phone calls need to come. That's how this works. If they wanted to work out something early, it could have been done early. But you're going to fight for every dollar that you can if you're on Henry's side, and you're going to fight for the best deal if you're the Titans. And both sides know that they have something in place for 2020. You know, he's got $10.278 million. Ooh. I mean, it's a good deal, especially in this economy and in this environment. It's not the worst thing in the world if he plays on the franchise tag. So I think it goes to next week. You know how this works.
I just want to give you a hug, because if it goes out like how mine went all the way down to the end, and guess what? I was elated, jumping for joy. So hopefully we'll all be jumping for joy with the King.
That would be the plan. I think we all want everybody to be as happy as possible. The circumstances, however, with what's going on in the league and understanding that there could be a loss of revenue and that the salary cap could go down next year, all of those things are factoring in. And those are things that are different when this process started in mid-March. And so you wonder, has the situation changed for Henry? Has the situation changed for the Titans? Do they decide the franchise is the best way to do it on all sides for 2020? Or are they able to, you know, to come to some sort of conclusion that they can get some sort of deal that makes him feel great about the next 2, 3, 4 years? But remember when the Tannehill deal got done? Right before free
agency. Oh, you're right.
The day before the contact period started. Come on. I mean,
don't be teasing me.
You know better than anybody in the media.
No. A quick note with you, Mike. You got the co-host on the 3HL, man. Was it just like riding a bike? You know, it was just easy and as normal as possible. Or, you know, were you a little rusty and you felt like, man, I kind of missed this?
Well, I was rusty. There's no doubt.
Oh, was it?
I got some reps on this show.
I know. I got some reps here, but I didn't get 3 hours. You know, I got 3 hours, but that was four. It was really enjoyable. It was really a lot of fun.
You have a good time?
I had a great time. It was nice to be asked, and I enjoyed being on with Brent. He did a great job, and David Reed did a wonderful job getting things set up, and it was a lot of fun. So I really enjoy, you know, talking on the radio is something I like to do.
Stay hydrated. By the way, if Blaine jumps for joy over Derrick Henry, he has to do it privately since he's on furlough. So you got to remember that.
I'm a colleague. Oh, I can't. Well, oh, no.
I'll call you, Blaine. Call you.
Okay. Okay, cool. That'd be enough.
Mike, always a pleasure. We'll speak to you next week and stay safe, buddy.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Thanks for having me on.